that you associated with the Post.
Right. Do you remember how they gave out grades? Did they give out number grades or letter grades?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was letters A, B, C's, I think. It's not clear anymore.
Right. Now, were the teachers anti-Semitic in the Polish school?
The entire country was anti-Semitic. Always filled with hate against the Jews.
And so what do you remember about anti-Semitism?
Well, when you walked the streets, many times you were attacked by hoodlums. The Jews go to Palestine. Hit over the head and tricked.
Now, were you physically a strong person or no?
Well, as strong as you can be as a young boy, 11, 12, or 13.
And did you fight back or no?
Sometimes, yes. One time I was beaten up by a thug, and then I went and got my brother, so with two of us, we catch up with him, but we never caught up with him.
Right. Now, were you afraid to go out on any of the holidays because you were Jewish, like on Easter?
No, not really. We were primarily in a Jewish neighborhood. The shul was not far away. It was actually named the Shilgas. There was a street with the big shul, and the Beis HaMidrash was right next to it.
Now, what do you remember about Shabbos?
Shabbos is... I remember, since we were living in a Jewish neighborhood, that a chassid comes about 12 o'clock Friday. He used to walk by Shabbos. He used to call out Shabbos, 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 which means the businesses and the people should start getting ready to... Because Shabbos is approaching. The store across from us always had a door to come into the back. Because Sunday you couldn't keep the store open. They had a religious law, so he always had that door to the back. Because he was closed on Saturdays, our holiday. And since you had to buy every day fresh, there was no refrigeration. Come Sunday, you had to buy stuff fresh. So he had that door to the back. You could come in there and get your stuff. And I remember one time I was working on a Sunday from the bakery, just hopscotching along. I bought a bread, and a policeman stopped me because Sunday you shouldn't. The stores were supposed to be closed because
right.
That was a Jewish bakery. They were open on Sunday to the back door. So he was writing me a ticket. So I gave him a false name and a false address.
Now, what did you have for dinner on Shabbos?
Truant.
So, did you have to bring the truant to the baker?
We took the truant to the... It was a bagel bakery not too far from us. And they put the truant in there, and after the services on Saturday, we went back and picked up the truant.
Whose job was it to bring the truant?
Mine and my brother. Usually they put on a number on top of the truant, and they gave you the other half of the number to match. And sometimes a poor person got lucky that when they pulled out a truant from the oven, and the number got slightly burned off, and he got the truant of a rich person which had kishke and meat. His truant only had the potatoes and beans.
Right. So this was in a bagel bakery?
Well, it was a bakery. They used to bake bagels. Was no different. The oven was still hot.
Right. Now, that was...
The type of bagels we had at home were not like here. They were more like pretzels.
Right. Did they have like Super Onion and everything bagels?
It was a large, much larger than these. You can't cut them. They were just like up here. They would be considered a pretzel.
Right, but did they have different flavors?
No, there was some salt on it, and there were vendors picking up the hot bagels and from the bakery and going out on the street and selling right on the street hot.
Right. And so who turned the lights on Shabbos?
A Shabbos goer.
Was that a man or a woman?
A man. And he also came in to fix the fire in the oven there, you know, because it didn't last that long in the winter time, particularly to keep the stuff hot.
Do you still remember his name?
No.
And what do you remember about Purim?
Purim, they used to dress up in costumes, and there were sometimes some young men got dressed up in specific costumes and went at that droshka and rode around through town. It was like a carnival time.
Right. And what do you remember about Sukkos?
Sukkos, there was a sukkah in the back in the courtyard. Since it was a courtyard for a lot of apartments, there was a large sukkah, and a lot of people who lived in apartments, which they had a balcony, they used to build their sukkah in the balconies. And the goyim hooligans used to have a heyday throwing wax at them at the sukkahs on the balcony.
And what do you remember about Pesach?
Pesach was a very happy time. It was always got new clothes, new shoes as kids. I remember we sat down at the Seder. It was always for Pesach. Made that indig. You know what the indig was? A turkey.
Oh, okay.
It was an indig. And we sat down, and I remember one Seder particularly. We sat down in the first Seder, and we used to do a lot of singing in our house. I always here I became a chazan in the shul. Over there, I used to just to sing along. And after we finished with the Seder, we put out the other leftover turkey in that little chamber, which had that earthen floor to keep it cool. But while we were singing away, somebody came in and opened it up and took out the leftover turkey.
Huh.
So we didn't have anything for the second day of Seder. But my uncle was a butcher, so he opened up the butcher shop, and we got some stuff to prepare for the second Seder.
What was your uncle's name?
I don't remember.
Was that from your mother's side or your father's side?
My father's sister's husband.
Right.
He was killed even before us. One time they made a roundup of all the butchers. They figured if we wouldn't have any butchers, we wouldn't have anything to eat. And also, the Polish government had that strict quarter. They proclaimed that the slaughtering for the Jewish kosher way is not humane. Theirs was humane, ours wasn't humane. So they put in a strict quarter how many cattle and how many beef you can slaughter for kosher. But it was never enough because the way they put it for the large, we had 30-some thousand Jewish people in our town. I remember many times a shochet used to get a calf and push it up into a nedik, so it wouldn't go on the quarter for how many you could slaughter, and just do his job there, slaughter the calf, and the one time I saw the police raiding the place, and the shoichet that was walking to school, the shoichet jumping down from the top floor, with this knife in his mouth, so he would jumping down from there.
Do you remember your mother cleaning up the house for Passover?
Yes, everything was turned over inside out. We didn't have a mattress, but it was stuffed with straw. The mattress was stuffed with straw, and for Pesach, everything was gotten fresh.
Right. And what do you remember about the Seders?
There was a lot of singing. And I remember Teddy's mother, which was my father's sister. His father wasn't very, very religious. He was a Linke Poetian. She always used to send him, go over to Uncle David and learn the Yiddishkeit.
Right. And now, did you sit at a long table? Or was it a round table?
A long table.
Did you sit on a bench?
The table was put up to the bed. You sat on the bed. Some people were sitting on the bed, and some people were sitting on the chair around it.
And they said the four questions, and...
Yeah, the four questions, in Yiddish, and... first in Hebrew. Man ishtanu halayla razei. And then you gave the translation in Yiddish. For verses, this nacht anders von alle andere nacht.
Right. And they let in Elie Novi to drink the wine?
Yes, that went through the whole thing.
Now, did they hide the Afikoman?
Yes.
Now, how could you hide an Afikoman in one room?
Well, it wasn't really hidden. It was covered up in something on. I think it was on the wall.
And what happened if you found the Afikoman?
There was no presence.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had matzah.
The matzah was homemade.
I mean,
we didn't make it. We bought it. There were other little places set up.
Now, the matzah, did it come in a box like it does here?
No. There were round matzahs. They were rolled out and punctured with a gupel, with a fork.
Yep. And what do you remember about Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur was the preparation was very, very, very strict. Going to Yom Kippur, I remember Yom Kippur when we were in the concentration camp. We knew when Yom Kippur was, and when they brought out your daily little soup, which was one or two barleys and some warm water. At 12 o'clock, I kept it there with me until I came home that night because it was Yom Kippur. I didn't want to drink it.
How old did you have to be to fast?
Usually 13.
And what do you remember about going to the shul?
We went to shul every Saturday, because Yom Tov, of course. My father went to shul every morning.
But what do you remember about the shul?
It was a big... It was the largest, the large shul at home, the largest shul. We had a regular chazan. The chazan's name, the last one, the first one was Yaffa. He came from someplace from Ukraine or Russia. And he retired. It took us 2 years to get the guest chazunim every Saturday until we chose a new chazan. His name was Moshe Rontal, and he survived with us in the camp, and he had a position right away. He came on the same ship I was to the U.S., and he had a position right away to go to Chicago. The first chazan's son was also the choir director, had a regular choir, male. I applied to be a member of the choir, and And they told me I was a little too young, wait a couple of years, so I never made it.
And where did the women sit?
Sit in the upper balcony.
And what happened to the shul during the war?
They used it as a stable. The Germans used it as a stable for the horses.
And what do you remember about Hanukkah?
Hanukkah? We weren't getting any. It was Hanukkah-geld. There were latkes. The latkes were a little different than here. They were large latkes. And for some reason, they used to put on... There was no sour cream in our area. They didn't use sour cream with latkes. They used to put on sugar. I don't know why.
Now, did you have a menorah?
Yes, it was, we light some, yes.
Was it candles or oil?
Candles.
And do you remember playing with a dreidel?
Yes, we always had a dreidel. And it was when somebody came in outside in the winter time, you always handed them a glass of tea. The reason for a glass, you hold it in your hands and you warmed up. It was cold. And my father had made sometimes a potato kugel in the winter time. I can't remember the recipe. Besides putting in potatoes, I think he put in some little bit of flour and some sugar. He made a potato kugel, and people used to come by after shul in the winter time. And then for the shalshidas, and particularly in the winter time, I remember. The fire was almost going out from, you know, it was the end of the Shabbos. They used to take a herring, a whole herring, and dip it in flour and put it on the glowing coals, and that used to sort of brown off, bake off, sort of.
So were there presents on Hanukkah?
Very little.
Now, how did you have photographs taken?
We went to a photographic studio.
And?
There were pictures of my family, which we sent here to the U.S., and when I came here, that's where I found them.
Now, anything else that you remember from before the war that's important?
Not offhand.
And would you say you had a happy childhood?
Yes.
Do you ever remember being very sick when you were little, or?
I was, got sick at one time. I think I didn't know what it was. Here they call it pleurisy on the left lung. It was almost so sick that the doctor said if he doesn't get better by tomorrow, we have to take him to the hospital. But I guess I must have gotten better.
Right. So Harvey, so when did things start to get bad?
I remember when the war first broke out, the Germans were in our hometown. The war broke out September 1939. They were in our hometown 1 week later.
How did they come in?
The first was motorized vehicles, and then they followed by the front lines were always motorized. In the rear, they had the horse-drawn wagons.
Okay. And what did they do when they came in?
Well, the first pictures I had, you know, the ultra-religious people in our town always had long beards. And used to see the soldiers grabbing one of those and cutting out a Hakenkreuz, you know, the swastika on the beard, and standing there and laughing there, making jokes out of it.
Right. Did they kill anybody in the beginning?
Well, they used to beat you up, and then periodically you saw gallows put up right on the main thoroughfare where everybody was walking by, and hang somebody and had to be on there for 3 days until they took him off. Also, I remember we had to register right away, and they ordered. I got a cart to report to work, and I was only 14, and I figured myself, I'm too young to do that, so I didn't show up. So they came at night at 11 or 12 o'clock, got me out of bed, and took me to the police station, put me in the holding block. A bunch of drunken Polacks over there stayed there all night, and the next morning they took me out and marched us to the gate of the ghetto. There was a ghetto already. So when the guard went in there to report how many he has, I started running. So I figured maybe I'd take off, and he came out in time and started call. First he called halt, and I didn't stop, so he started shooting a couple shots, so I better stop. So he gave me an introduction, what it is to come. He gave me a beating of my life with the rifle butt, with his boots. I was all cut up and really bleeding everywhere. And still had to march me to the work detail, spend the whole day. When I got back home, my father took me to a doctor and sewed me up.
What kind of work were you doing?
I think they put me into work in the stables. I never been near a horse. You know, we were city boys. It was big horses, and they took me to clean them and make, I don't know, what else. They
now
scared to death to get near the horses.
Well, when the Germans came in, did they place a lot of restrictions on the Jews?
Well, you couldn't, when you walked the sidewalk on the street and you saw a German soldier approaching, you had to get off the sidewalk, walk, so they wouldn't be near you.
Was there any more school?
So we put on a yellow star on the clothing.
Now, was that something that you made, or did they give that to you, or did you buy it?
We had to make our own. They didn't give it to you.
And where did you have to wear that?
Right on the chest.
And how did it feel to wear a star?
Well, I figured if this is the worst thing they could do us, maybe we can survive. I also remember the first, since it was September when they first came, the holidays, the Rosh Hashanah came, and we couldn't go to shul anymore. So across the street from us, diagonally across the street, there was a Jewish guy who had a lumber yard. In back of the lumber yard, he had his living quarters. So we went to his place, since it wasn't to the front. It was always in the back. The front, it was all full with lumber. And we had our Rosh Hashanah service there, right in there quietly.
Right. Now, did you look Jewish?
I guess so.
I mean, you know, some Jews have blonde hair and blue eyes, so they don't look Jewish. But
most of the Jews didn't have blonde hair.
Right. And there was no more school when the Germans came in?
No.
Did they ask for valuables from you in the beginning, or?
I think there was something there, a collection of gold or something, rings, but I don't remember much about that.
And what happened to your father's business in the beginning?
It was, he used to have a stand in the market. On the market day was on Thursday. That no longer could do that. So business was down. Some goyim still came in to the ghetto. I remember one episode. The school where I went. I remember I told you he had five sons. One of the sons was going for the priesthood. He was almost a priest. And he he came into the ghetto. He always used to make, my father used to make the suits for them. He came in and brought some material for your father to make the suits. That was already doing, they were getting ready to liquidate the ghetto. We didn't know about liquidation. They were talking about resettlement. And he brought the suit in, the material, and my father didn't have any more the patience to complete the suit, because we knew that was going to be it. We're not going to be at home together anymore. We didn't know yet about Treblinka yet and the others, what they were doing. So when he came in, the suit wasn't ready. So instead, he knew what was going to happen to us. Instead of feeling sorry, he started cursing my father. So I still remember that.
Right now, how much time was it before you went to the ghetto? You know, before they formed the ghetto, after the Germans came in?
There was, I think, a year or a year and a half, something like that.
So what were you doing during that year or year and a half?
Well, we were going to work. One time I was working in a lumber yard, another time on the railroad, unloading cars.
Right, and did you get food at work?
No. Get money, didn't get any money either.
Now, who was guarding you at work? You know, who was watching you?
Well, there was usually one German guard, mostly civilian supervisors.
And did anyone else in your family work?
My brother was a year older. My brother and I was. And a lot of times we were going to taking us to different places.
Right. And did your father or your mother work during that time?
Well, my father didn't. My mother didn't. You know, had to keep the house. But my father, whatever work, if he still was getting any work in the tailoring, it was becoming very, very, very little. When you made the ghetto, some Polacks were still coming in, but it no longer it could go to the market and sell the stuff as the pence he was making.
So what do you remember about them making the ghetto? Was the ghetto where your house was, or did you have to move?
Since our town had a large Jewish community, they made two ghettos in two different ends of the town. And where we were living, they make one ghetto, so we didn't have to move.
Did anyone move into your apartment? Anyone else move into your house? Or?
No.
No?
My wife tells me about her place. She was the close to the Russian border. They had a big house and several families moved in, but not in our place.
Where was your wife from?
She was in a little town, which before the war it was about 3 or 4 kilometers from the Russian border.
Oh.
The Russian border.
Right. And so, how was the ghetto surrounded?
It was a wall, and there was a ghetto gate. And when we were lining up to go to work in the morning, we had to go to the ghetto gate and go out and work in different details.
Right.
And the Russians in the ghetto were pretty small. Sometimes I was able, when I was out working on details, a lot of times there were some Polacks right nearby, and I asked him to if he can get me a bread on the black market, because the rations were small.
Right.
And I smuggled it into the ghetto, and many times, there were seven of us in our family. We always took over some food to my Bobby's childless couple. They used to take the bread and sell it to somebody and get with some money and buy potatoes. Potatoes we could make several meals. You cook potatoes and put some just potato soup. That's what my father got up early in the morning and made a fire and cooked some potato soup, and that's what I had for breakfast, my brother and I, when we went out to work and those work assignments.
Right. Was your grandmother in the ghetto?
No, she died before. She was lucky. Died natural death.
Oh. Okay. And in the ghetto, were you celebrating the Jewish holidays there?
Well, we still were adhering to the holidays. We no longer went to the shuls, but we had the service over there and in the back of the lumber yard. And after that, we were even afraid to do that anymore.
Huh. And could you go out of the ghetto at night?
At the beginning, yes. But you had to wear the yellow thing, but after a while the ghetto was closed. I don't remember when it was closed.
So would you say that you were starving in the ghetto?
Well, not starvation, but there wasn't much to eat.
And how many days a week did you work?
Every day.
Were you ever punished or hit at work, or?
Yes, many times you were kicked and beaten. You didn't have too much energy to work. You know, you didn't eat that much, and you take you to work in a lumber yard or digging ditches or doing something else, and it wasn't. You got hit.
Did people ever get killed at work, or no?
I never witnessed it.
And did the Germans ever come into the ghetto?
Yes, they came in to have their fun.
So what would they do?
Just kicking the Jews, particularly the elderly Jews with the long beards, they were dressed in the longer kapatas, black clothes, like the Hasidim.
And what did your father?
They were just laughing like that was the best entertainment they had. My father didn't wear long clothes. He wore regular clothes and shaved.
Did your father work in the ghetto?
No, just my brother and I went out to do the work. And there was that's how I supported the family. If I could buy a bread on the black market from the boy and bring it in and sell it and get some potatoes, we could have several meals.
And what did you have to give up to get a bread? What did you trade?
Money.
Money?
Yeah. There was a little commerce going on. And I remember early part of the ghettos, the bakery which was baking the bread for the ghetto. My neighbor's cousin, his father had a pastry shop before the war, and he worked for him, so he was actually a pastry man, and he worked in the shop. He was in the early days. He was in the ghetto with us, and he worked in the bakery to make the bread. And I knew that he knew how to make pastries. So when I was out on work details, sometimes the Polacks were working nearby. I just came by. They always thought Jewish people had money, and I asked him if he can bring me some sugar and flour, and I got it from him, paid him, and smuggled it into the ghetto, and I went to my neighbor's cousin there, and I knew the guy who was running the bakery, and I asked him, is it all right if after you finish baking at night, the ovens are still hot, if this my neighbor's cousin and I come in there and bake some cheesecake. So we baked a couple cheesecake, and I had to figure out how to make some money. So we didn't have it. So in the morning before we went out to our work assignment, I got up early and took the cheesecake and stood there someplace so the Germans wouldn't see me. And it was, you're going to ask the question, how come cheesecakes? You know, if somebody walked by, and every day could have been the last day, and you saw a piece of cheesecake, so he bought a piece of cheesecake, and I had some money to buy some potatoes and buy something else.
Right. Do you remember people dying in the ghetto?
Yes, they were just dying by the truckloads. There was a special cart, hand-drawn. They were just going around and picking up the dead people. Not just individually, just throwing up one on top of the other and just pulling them along manually.
And where did they bring them to?
They bring them to a place, and then they took them out to the cemetery.
Did you have friends in the ghetto?
Yes, we had friends and neighbors. Yes, the only one survived, and he was in Israel.
What was his name?
Avraham Glatt.
Yeah. Is he still alive today?
I don't know. He was alive a few years ago. It was a year or two older than I.
Did anyone in your family get sick in the ghetto?
My mother was sick. I don't know from what, because.
And how did you get wood to heat the oven? How did you stay warm in the ghetto?
Well, we went out and got some, and if you had money, you bought some coal. It was a special type of coal, but a lot of times we didn't.
What were your younger sisters doing in the ghetto?
Not a whole lot.
No?
Since they didn't go to school, so every morning I was teaching them, particularly the twins. They never had a chance to go to school because the school started at the age of 7. That's when the war started.
Right. Did anyone, you know, get sick? Like, did anyone get typhus or?
Yes. After they liquidated the ghetto, I remember the last thing, my father was holding a prayer book. And after the liquidation, there was only I was left with my brother. And one day we were going out to the edge of the ghetto to get assigned to the work detail, and they took my brother in a lineup, and to me that lineup didn't look kosher, so I didn't want to get separated from my brother, so I volunteered to go with them, and they marched us all day, all night, into the next day, into a place which looked to me like at one time it was a ghetto. But it was all broken down houses and shacks. Every day they were bringing in people from the surrounding areas. And they didn't take us to work. And I knew that's going to be the end of it if they didn't take you to work. So I was going to the edge of the place, and the guard was walking the other way. I saw a Polak coming close to it, and I called out to him if he can bring a truck, a flatbed truck with a canvas cover at 12 o'clock midnight. I pay him handsomely, pay him money. Didn't have that much money, but I had some money from selling the cheesecakes.
Right.
and my brother and I made that escape. I remember my heart jumping so like a figure's going to jump out until I got on the truck. And we had no place where to hide when we were outside the ghetto, so I told him to take us close to the ghetto. And we got back into the ghetto because the Germans kept pretty good records. We were illegal already.
Right.
So we had to go in hiding because as far as they're concerned, I wasn't supposed to be there anymore.
Right.
The people from the other place, not a single one survived. They just killed them all out. So we were hiding during the day. It didn't have too much of a ghetto anymore. There weren't that many people left.
And what happened to the rest of your family?
They were all taken away. It was August 16. They took one ghetto from the other end of town. August 17, 42, they took that. They took from our ghetto. It was 12 o'clock midnight. Outside, they had some floodlights. They chased us out with the haraus, and they started some shooting all over the place. A lot of people didn't move fast enough. They were just killed on the spot. They took us to a field over there. I never saw my mother or sisters anymore. And at the distance, I saw my father in a different grouping. And my brother and I went together. We were assigned the job of picking up all those dead bodies in a cart. And it took to take to it. There was a big graveyard already there. It was dug. I don't know who did the digging. It was as large as a football field.
Huh.
You know, the dead were throwing it over there, and there was sometimes live people. There was one person, I guess he didn't come out fast enough when we had to come out from the houses, from the apartments, and they chased him in with the dead, so it was August, and we were assigned that they poured what is it, whitewash? They used it as a chemical to pour over the dead bodies because
right.
It was August. It was, I don't know how many people were killed, and the rest of them were marched to the train station and taken to Treblinka. We didn't know that at that time. And I was left with my brother.
Right. So at that point, you knew that no one else was alive in your family?
No, we didn't know where they were taking them. We found out later on that it was to Treblinka, and also the people from Vorsorget, they were also taken there. But at that time, we didn't know. We found out later that one of the guys from who was running the train, I guess, let somebody know that the people going in there and nobody's coming out. So we knew what was happening.
How did they kill the people?
In Treblinka?
No, where you were. You said you were carrying all those bodies to the football field.
Shooting them with pistols, with rifles and pistols.
Did you actually see that yourself?
Yes.
And how come you weren't killed?
Well, maybe we were assigned to do the work.
Do you remember how many people there were that were assigned to?
Not that many. The youngest and the strongest, just a teenager at that time. At that time, it was my brother and I.
Now, did the people have clothes on?
Yes. With the clothes, they were just buried there, just pouring over some white brush over them, and that became their permanent grave.
And how were the Germans? How did they react to?
They were just laughing like it was an entertainment.
Okay. So then, how much longer was it before the incident happened where you went back to the ghetto on the truck, and you were left with your brother? You know, you were hiding. How much? You know, how much time was it between?
Wasn't that much time? Maybe a few months.
Oh.
While we were hiding in that attic, the only company we had was rats, and I became. After a few days, I couldn't lift my head anymore, and I was getting hot. I figured I have the typhoid fever was prevailing. So I came out of there, didn't have a hospital, but we had a room which was served as a dispensary. And I went there because I figured if I stay in that hiding, I'll be a dead duck. And they gave me a bunk to lay down, no medication. And my brother came to visit me for several nights because he was still in the hiding, and came January 1943 while I was still there with the typhoid fever. They cleared up the rest. There wasn't that many people left in the ghetto, and they had another killing over there, and that's what must have gotten my brother. So I was with the typhoid fever there, but after a few days they said, you got to get out of here, we need your bunk for somebody else, and they sent me to